everybody, welcome back to Why Am I Dead? This is our second episode. ¿Cómo están? I am your host, Karen, and I am joined here by my co-host, Violet.
Hi.
And today we'll be continuing our album review of The Black Parade by My Chemical Romance. So I think we're going to start off by discussing the title track.
Kind of the title track.
Welcome to the Black Parade. Violet, tell me how you feel about this song.
I think we should start off with your opinion first, actually.
Yeah, the non-expert. Okay, I'm gonna lie to you. The only reason why I knew a little bit about this song was because all the emo kids at our school. I'm not dropping any names. but the piano intro. Anytime anyone starts off with the key of what's the first chord?
Well, first off, it's not a chord; it's just a note.
Yeah. What note? What's the first?
The first note is a G.
Yeah. Anytime anyone hits a G on the piano, all the emos know. They know what's coming. I personally, that's why this song is like kind of like, you know. I really like this song actually, because yeah. I have good memories attached to it. Because when I was like, you know, a young boy.
When you were a young boy.
My father.
Your father took you into the city
to see a marching band, and it was a great experience. But anyways, I'm not gonna lie to you. There was a part in there that sounded like it was like it could have been like an iCarly track. I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't know which part it was. I don't quite recall. But
there's a part that sounds like an iCarly track.
Yes. Listen. Okay. So you know MCR. This is what I'm picking up from MCR. Like you know, MCR clearly does a lot of like, you know, like shifts and switches in like the progressions that they're going at, and like,
especially for this one
there was a lot of like different changes. I mess with the piano intro. The piano intro is great. I love you know, the little marching band intro, but then after that it's like what's kind of going on here. But then when it goes to, I don't know if this is the chorus, I don't think it's chorus, is it? Well, it goes like, there is like some like insane like background guitar harmonies going on, and I almost lost my mind because I thought it was insane. It was so good. And then there was, just when I thought the song was about to be over, there's another, yet again, another switch up. Which I thought was great. But do you wanna delve into deep dive into the lyrics real quick and, you know, dissect what's going on? What's going on in this song?
What's going on? I know what's going on.
I don't. All I know is, you know, father takes you out to see a marching band, right? Obviously. But also, you know, father is giving you some, like, is it really words of advice? I don't think it counts as words of advice. I think it's just more like, redirecting questions. Do you know what I
think? Well, first off, interesting little fact. Gerard's father did actually take him to see a marching band when he was young.
Oh, so this is based on true events.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, like, he didn't say that, will you grow up and
no, but, like,
save,
you know, he
people,
took him,
but, like,
he did take him to the, yeah.
He did actually take him to see a marching band.
I love that.
When he was little.
I love that. Okay. So, but the here in the song, the father, you know, he's going, son, when you grow up, you know, would you be the savior of the broken, the beaten, and the damned? And he's going on about how his son is going to become, like, this, like, kind of great figure who's going to save the less fortunate or something. That's kind of what I'm getting out of it, you know, from the, like, the beginning, I guess.
Here's the big question, Karen. What is the Black Parade?
That's a good question. That's a great question. Well, the Black Parade, I'm going to be honest with you. No clue. It could be death. It could be, you know, leading path towards death. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I mean,
if we use our context clues. Karen.
Right here. Where are the context clues? Let's look at them.
Let's look at the previous four songs that we discussed. We have The End, Dead, This Is How I Disappear, and The Sharpest Lives.
Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Don't put me on the spot like that.
Do you need me to spell it out for you, Karen?
Yes. Ready?
I would really prefer it
let's spell it out
came
together.
To your own conclusion.
Let's spell
together.
Let's spell it out together at the same time. Ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Ready.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah, that was great.
That was awesome. Okay, but seriously, I'm gonna be honest with you, my brain is not working. I don't know. I really don't know. Unless it's unless it's quite literally the marching band. Which I don't think it is.
So, okay, so, yeah, so it is true that Gerard's father did actually take him to see a marching band when he was a wee little lad, but, the symbolism here in mm-hmm. reference to the album mm-hmm. is that, the Black Parade is a metaphor for, like the process of dying.
Yeah. So like the path.
Yeah. It's sort of like if you look at, because one day I'll leave you a phantom to lead you in the summer to join the Black Parade.
That's what, see,
so
I was looking
joining
at
the Black Parade is dying.
Yeah. Just getting steps closer to dying basically.
So, yeah. So basically the dad, the patient here is recalling a memory mm-hmm. where his father basically has sort of explained his own mortality to him, kind of. And sort of being like, you know, when you grow up, you know, will you save, you know, the less fortunate? Cause like,
yeah, I didn't get a chance to do it. So maybe you can,
we gonna die. Like,
yeah, you know, so might as well make use of your time, living.
While and it could be implied here that this is like the father is like actually like dying here.
Mm-hmm.
And like these are like his sort of like final words saying like, you know, I want you to grow up and be something great, you know, cause you know, life is so short and sort of that kind of thing where he's confronting his own mortality and he's sort of passing that on to his son.
Yeah. I get that. See, I get that.
Yeah. So, that's the explanation of the intro of the song. And then
there's a part here, you know, after, you know, the whole intro or whatever. There's the lines, sometimes I get the feeling she's watching over me, and other times I feel like I should go. Who's the she? Is she, like, an actual person, actual character, or is it just, like, a metaphorical thing?
So, there's, well, fun fact, this verse for that song, just, like, that snippet, was actually written for a different song. Well, kind of. It's the same song, like, the instrumental is the same here, but the song was very different. If you know, if you're interested, there's a demo of it called The Five of Us Are Dying on the 10th anniversary deluxe of this album, where you can hear the demo of this verse. So that's sort of like an interesting thing. And as in reference to like she, who is she, it's kind of, see, there's apparently, like, I didn't know this when we recorded the first episode, but there's a character called Mother War who I didn't even know, like, existed until, like, literally a couple of days ago. I just thought it was just, like, the patient.
Oh, wow.
And then sort of, like, people surrounding patient, the patient. But it also does make sense, like, if you go into the next line, through it all, the rise and fall of the bodies in the streets. I think Mother War is, like, a personification of, like, actual war. Oh. And how it's, like, really destructive, you know, that sort of thing. But she could also be, like, you know, a ghost or, like, death. It, like, you know, sort of personifying death.
Yeah, yeah. It could very much be a form of personification.
Because, like, you know... Yeah. Sometimes I get the feeling she's watching over me. It's kind of like paranoia that you could die soon, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, and then and through it all, the rise and fall, the bodies in the streets. That is definitely a reference to like war and like, you know, just you know,
just falling bodies, falling bodies.
It's like imagery.
Yeah.
For like how you, but it also could be like. Sort of like the bodies in the streets. It could, you know, it also like a reference to a parade. You know, there's
yeah,
a
and
lot of,
there, those are two very different.
It never technically specifies that the bodies are dead and parades are in streets, but it is also the Black Parade, which is
the path towards
March
death.
Of
I
death.
Guess, yeah,
right.
March of death, yeah.
So, and then after that, and when you're gone, we want you all to know. We'll carry on, we'll carry on. That is basically just saying, it's sort of like a jab saying, like, once you die, like, we'll keep living. Like, there's, you know, like, it, like you'll die and we'll be sad.
We'll
but then
sad,
in
but
contrast
we'll
to that, in contrast to that, there's the next line that's like, and even though you're dead and gone, believe me, your memory will carry on. So it's sort of like, it's sort of... I don't think irony is the right word, but it, you know, it's sort of like two sides of the same coin where it's like, you know, you're going to die, but you know, we'll be fine.
It's like the black and white
situation.
But, you
know, we'll remember you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. The black and white situation, basically.
Yeah. And then, and in my heart, I can't contain it. The anthem won't explain it. I don't think that those two lines particularly mean anything outside of what they say, like, sort of, you know, emotion-inspiring, sort of a feeling that can't really be described, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, a world that sends you reeling from decimated dreams, your misery and hate will kill us all. So that one is either you could be like a specific person or just like the actual world's misery and hate could, you know, is like sort of what is what is what, like one of the main causes of death, you know, misery and hate leads to, you know, murder and war and a bunch of stuff that, you know, is objectively bad. Well, yeah. you would think would be considered objectively bad. Yeah, and then
the next couple of lines.
The next line, so paint it black and take it back and let's shout it loud and clear, defiant to the end, we hear the call. This line is, you remember in the first episode you mentioned like the end was sort of like a call to all the like the emos and stuff. That's that part is like what I imagine to be the like the call to the emos.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's like, you know, you know, paint it black, take it back. It's like sort of like a
reformation of the emos.
Inspiration isn't necessarily the word that I'm looking for, but it is sort of supposed to inspire, you know, like a specifically an emo crowd, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And then defiant to the end, we hear the call, which is also sort of like, continuing what I just talked about, but also like, I think the line between emo and punk is often blurred because they're kind of, you know, like they're both groups of people are kind of considered either like weird or just like they just don't care about like what the status quo necessarily is.
Yeah, it's they're not really like, you know, considered enough.
They're not like
to the point where it's like
normal. Know. Not necessarily in like the corny way, but also like not in the corny way, you know?
They're just not the average normal people that most
right.
society would expect and whatnot. They have, yeah. you know, their own ideas, but, you know, people don't care enough to really go in depth and actually, you know, understand, try to understand and learn about, you know.
Right. And then we get the same chorus again, except this time we get, and though you're broken and defeated, your weary widow marches. I think this is sort of like in reference to a sort of like a partner that, like a partner that's yeah. like also kind of suffering through this, not necessarily because you are not necessarily because like actually like physically suffering, but weary because of, you know, the stress and the emotional trauma that losing a partner will have on someone.
Yeah, but either way, you know, as you know, the widow is marching. You know, the widow's on the
right.
way.
Right, and then she continues.
She's still,
and she will continue
until she,
despite the fact that you're dying. You know,
yeah.
And though you're broken and defeated, and though you're dying, your weary widow marches.
She still continues. She's on the way either way.
She's currently marching.
She's gonna join you.
She will continue to.
Yeah. Yeah.
She'll die, just not now.
Yeah.
And then, on and on we carry through your fears, disappointed faces of your peers. Take a look at me, because I could not care at all. I think this is sort of like a recollection of like the, you know, when you look back in your life and it's like, you cringe at like everything, every stupid thing that you've ever done.
Yeah.
Like every bad thing.
Just reflecting back on, you know, everything.
Done, right. Yeah. Just like reflecting back and how, oh, yeah, like, you know, your peers are so disappointed in you. And then take a look at me, because I could not care at all. I think like the line, like, take a look at me, like that part specifically is sort of, it's like, there's a couple other times on this album where the main character is asking someone to like either look at them or not, to sort of which is, you know, to sort of emphasize the state that they're in. And, you know, like they, you know, you're in a state so bad that like either someone can't look at you or you're telling them to look away from you.
Yeah, but this kind of defies that than the worm, I guess.
yeah. And it's also like, and then this song is very energetic and sort of it's really sort of like the theme of this song overall, I think, is I don't care about like anything. Like not like anything. Here, let's read the next like breakdown, and then I'll be able to sort of reinforce this point more.
Yeah.
Do or die, you'll never make me, because the world will never take my heart. Go and try, you'll never break me. We want it all. We want to play this part. I won't explain or say I'm sorry. I'm unashamed. I'm gonna show my scar and give a cheer for all the broken. We'll stop there. And then, because that's all I really need to sort of emphasize the point of this song is about, is kind of like, I don't care. You aren't going to, I'm not going to die today. I will die, but it's not going to be today.
Yeah.
So and you're not going to make me die today.
Yeah. So kind of like I wouldn't say a positive outlook on, you know.
It's not a positive outlook, but it's kind of just like a
non-pessimistic.
Right.
We can say that.
It's like I don't really know like a better way to say it. I mean, I have to censor it, but it's literally just like, fuck you, I'm living today.
Yeah.
Like that, that's really like what, like that's what the song is about. And
like, I don't gotta worry about this right now. I'm gonna keep
right. Like, I'm gonna, yeah. And it's like, and you know, I'm unashamed. I'm gonna show my scar. It's like, you know, I have, you know, scars are a sign of living, an imperfect life, right?
Yeah.
Because like, I have a scar on my forehead from when I was little. Because I slipped and like fell and I hit my head.
Oh my god, are you serious? And me too.
Yeah, you haven't noticed? I have like stitches. Yeah,
I've seen it, but I was like,
yeah.
Maybe she's got like, you know, a thing. Like,
okay. I was on like a playground I fell I had to go to the hospital.
Yeah, stitches. I slipped in the bathtub, so I don't think people notice it a lot, but I have like a bump on my forehead. It's kind of like, I'm pretty sure it's my bone. You know, just like,
right.
My cranium's kind of like sticking out.
And
there.
Right, and everybody has scars, you know, emotional,
physical,
you know, just like, above. It's just like, it comes with the territory of living.
An experience everyone goes through.
And, you know, this song is like, I'm not ashamed of that. Like, I've been broken, but I've healed.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a mark there. But it's not as, you know, it's not as bad as the bleeding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And give a cheer for all the broken. Listen here, because it's who we are. Just a man, I'm not a hero. Just a boy who had to sing this song. Just a man, I'm not a hero. I don't care. So, this part, it sort of humanizes the protagonist. And, which is kind of, like, reinforced with, like, the scar stuff, was just, like, I'm not perfect. Like, you know, I have scars. I'm just a man. I'm not a hero. I'm not, like, I'm not Superman, but I'm going to sing this song to inspire life, kind of, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just kind of putting that kind of, like, you know, I guess the son's message out there, you know?
Yeah.
Damn, I fucking lost my train of thought.
And then, so we have the chorus again, which we already went over, and then the outro, which is just, do or die, you'll never make me, because the world will never take my heart, go and try, you'll never break me, we win it all, we want to play this part. And then, it does that again, and then the song ends with a little marching band snare drum,
I thought that was really funny. I will not lie to you. I thought it was hilarious.
It's cute, I think. I don't know if I'd say it's like, I wouldn't describe it as funny, but I think it's cute. It adds character to the song. And then it ends with like a big like kick drum, and it's just like boom, and then it's like reverbed and like echoey, yeah. so it sort of sounds like.
I genuinely believe that another part was gonna start up again, and I was like, here we go again, but then it ended. And
yeah. It is a song with many phases.
It's complex. So it's complex, I'd say.
It is complex. Yeah, with that, I think we're ready to move on to the next song.
Yeah. So, the next song.
The next song is I Don't Love You. This song is good. This is a really good song.
Wow, that was such a good review, Violet. It's so good.
Yeah. I think this one, even though it says so much, there's not a whole lot to talk about, just because this is probably top three, or if not, like, the most self-explanatory song. We'll still cover, like, a lot of it, but
yeah,
this entire song can really be wrapped up in the chorus, which is... I think the first song that I actually like ever added to my playlist.
Really?
From this album. Yeah, because when I listened to the album, I think it may have been Dead, actually, but this was like one of the
it
first.
It was one of the
actually,
first.
You know what? I think it was Dead, Welcome to the Black Parade, because I already knew it from my sister, and then this song.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was definitely like one of the first songs to catch my ears when listening.
It really caught my ears. Speaking of cut,
what?
The way Gerard enunciates specific words, especially with the mm-hmm. guts. Oh mm-hmm. my god, that. Like one of the very
that whole times. Bridge that like bridge or like let's see, yeah, it's like it's just the hook, but it's an octave lower, and he's using his sort of like if you were to speak really low in your voice, it would you would sort of sound like
it's kind of like a rasp there, kind of.
So he's using, yeah, kind of like a raspiness, but like a natural. He's not doing it in his throat. It just sort of like naturally occurs when you sort of speak without putting a whole lot of air out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, you know, the way he says it is like, would you have the guts?
Would you have the guts to say, I don't love you like I loved you yesterday?
He's like, in this part, he's kind of like saying it through his teeth with such resentment, you know?
It's really like... He's really trying to highlight, kind of emphasize, you know, would you have the guts to say, I don't love you like I loved you yesterday.
Yeah, it's like, that is probably like the most powerful part in the song, because it's just
so emotion packed. Like
it changes. It's a subtle change to the formula that the chorus sets up, right? You know, and you think, you know, it's an octave lower, so instead of like being, he's down there, right? So, you know, you'd think that it would come off as less powerful because of
the sudden change and like,
right, the and you know, like the hook is supposed to be like the most powerful part of the song, but with the, you know, the sort of storyline that the song has set up and just like general relatability, this sort of like resentment, but it's not all out there, you know. He's saying it in like a not necessarily passive aggressive way,
but like insinuating, but like, you know,
it is kind of passive aggressive, but not in like the normal way that you would say passive aggressive, because like passive aggressive is when you say something that's like meant to be an insult, but like they're not supposed to like fully, it's not like a flat out insult. But this song, this part is like aggressive passively, you know, it's kind of the same thing. I'm sort of like switching the words around, and if someone hasn't really like heard the song, they're probably thinking she just said the same thing twice, but they are different things. I don't think it's necessarily passive aggressive, but it is softly aggressive, like that's that kind of thing. It's more aggressive than like a normal passive aggressive thing, but it's so, because you know, when you're arguing with your partner, right, you don't want to go into screaming fits, obviously. That like that's never the goal, even if like nobody likes to argue with their partner.
Well,
nobody
not.
Would want to get into a screaming fit with their partner.
Yeah.
So
you have to keep it rational. But there are some, you know, there are some thoughts and emotions that you have to let out sometimes, you know, that need to escape.
The rest of the song, right, the rest of the song, Gerard's voice is kind of like crying, sort of like, even after the second verse, he sort of makes like a crying / singing sound. And when the chorus opens up, he says when you go, but he says it like when, so it's sort of like he's like making like a crying noise, you know,
with like elongating his words, like a weak,
right,
like
a but weak in this thing. Part it's not sadness here, it's anger. It's sort of like anger, which is, you know, normal in these kind of situations, because even you can feel sadness, you know, and then, you know, maybe once the sadness wears off,
it's
you're like
that built up rage.
This person did me wrong, right?
Yeah, the built up rage is screaming to come out, and you know, once can I really say it's like a stage, you know, and like frustration, I guess.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, Gerard starts off, you know, pretty frustrated, you know, upset with like, you know, the fact that is this, I guess, a song dedicated to like, not actually Gerard, but I'm saying like the song is dedicated to, I guess you could say, a partner and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's just like a, how do we say this? Like a, you're not worth it type of situation. But I'm so tired.
Yeah,
I'm so
it could
tired.
Be.
I'm so tired of you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That could definitely be. Yeah. I think we kind of got a little far into the song, but one thing that I want to cover is like the first verse to the pre-chorus, which is he says, "Well, when you go, don't ever think I'll make you try to stay, and maybe when you get back, I'll be off to find another way." Kind of self-explanatory, like, you know, it kind of starts off with, "You can go, I won't make you stay here, and maybe when you get back, he's kind of like, he's like, I'll find someone else, which is not going to happen because the protagonist is dying. But, you know, the album sort of mixes the optimism with pessimism a lot. And then the pre-chorus is, and after all this time that you still owe, you're still a good for nothing, I don't know. Complete tone switch, right?
Yeah.
So take your gloves and get out. You better get out while you can. And then, you know, this is much more of the resentment that we talked about on the bridge, but still in the sort of like crying type way. And, you know, like, you know, it's like, I'm dying and you took all this time away from me, from my life. And, you know, he's sort of, and the next line, you're still a good for nothing, I don't know, is like, you know, he's trying to think of like an insult. You're a good for nothing, and then he just can't think of anything because of the overwhelming sense of emotions that he's feeling right now. And so he's just, you know, he's just like, get out, leave, you know. And then the chorus is, when you go, would you even turn to say, I don't love you like I did yesterday. I think that's probably enough for this song. It's funny because I kind of said it at the beginning that this song doesn't really, it's so upfront, but I kind of got carried away in talking about how fantastic of a vocalist Gerard Way is, but
it's the MCR passion.
Right. But yeah, so I mean, I think we're good to move on to the next song. Is there anything else that you want to say about this one?
No, I think I'd just say it was very emotionally packed. So it was very intense. I am gonna say that.
For me, it was definitely like the easiest song to digest, just in terms of like enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, it's a song. It's a good song. It's an easy song to listen to. Definitely one of the easiest off the album.
Yeah.
Okay, next song is called House of Wolves.
Ooh.
This song is really fun. This is a really fun song.
This one started off so strong. It came in really hard, but I really, really liked it.
This song is really good.
I think there's a specific part that I really liked, but I'm not sure specifically where the line is. But Violet, I mean what do you think about the song? Like give us the expertise thoughts.
Well, I'm going to start off with just, like, sonically speaking, like from a musical standpoint, this is probably, like, the most danceable song on this album.
Really?
I think, like, yeah, definitely. Because, like, it's not the most powerful, but it's the most fun. Because it's, like, yeah. You know, the pre-chorus kicks in, and it's like, no, 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 well, think I'm gonna burn in hell, no, no, everybody burn their house right down and say, it just goes right into the chorus, and it picks up
really
super fast. The drums on this song are probably the best on the album. Welcome to the Black Parade has really good drums, it still has the standard, like, pop punk type beat where it's like, bo-ta, bo-ta. But this song, the drums are like a focal point from when you start, where it's like, I can't even remember the drum pattern. That's kind of embarrassing. I can hear it in my head, but I'm not a drummer, so I can't, like,
I think music, like, musically, I guess, it's It's really good. There is the guitar solo. The guitar solo in the background while he's going, tell me I'm a bad, 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 bad man. That solo was absolutely insane. I think that part was probably, if we're talking like danceable, that the part where you can really like hear the guitar solo, like just going at it. It was amazing. Absolutely.
It's a very energetic song, and
it is, but
and even like
you'd expect like an overload, you know, but it just works. All the instruments, like they mesh well, really well together. I expected to be a little bit overwhelmed, I'm not gonna lie to you, but you know, I could, you know, grasp enough to the point where like I could, you know, I could
group. Well, there's something to be said about like if this song was placed right after like The Sharpest Lives, do you think you would have enjoyed it as much?
I don't know if I probably would have, because I feel like
it comes right after a slower song, a slow sad song.
I feel like
song.
It should definitely, I think the placement that it's at right now, I don't know. I'm not sure actually. But
we'll
just
talk a little bit more about the placement when we get to teenagers, because that's a whole nother rant.
But oh my god, yes. But
I'll say that like that this song is really fun. And what do you think the song is about?
Let me go through the lyrics again real quick. Actually, I was going to ask you about the chorus.
Yeah.
I really didn't know. I'm gonna be honest. I really didn't know. I struggled a little. I don't know if you guys have picked up on it yet, my fellow listeners, my dear listeners. But I have a struggle with analysis of lyrics, and specifically, you know, being able to dissect lyrics and words
so,
to gain context. But I don't. I'm not actually really sure, but the chorus kind of confused me a bit.
So this song is so that religion is like a popular theme in the album, but specifically here, because you have like mentions of like angels and like,
hallelujah,
you know,
and
well,
prayers.
I said, hey, hallelujah, yeah. I'm going to come on, sing the praise. Something that's kind of funny about this song, I think, is the way that Gerard sings "Let the Spirit come on through you" is like how I imagine, like, you know, those like really, really crazy pastors, like the videos that you've seen. They're like,
I know exactly what you're talking about, and they like,
yeah, have you seen the really crazy one where he like screams into the microphone
and they're just like forcing out the demon to come, like
he's like the body. No, there's like one where he's like, ah! It's like crazy screams, like if he was doing that properly, he could have become a rock singer, because like it was insane. But he was a pastor, and he's like, the faster, like I don't even know what he was talking about. He was going on this crazy rant. Basically, what I'm saying is, I think here the way Gerard says it, he sort of says like, and let the spirit come on through ya, like, but he adds some like vibrato to it to sort of give it that like theatrical but also like priest like feel, where he's like preaching to a bunch of people, and just I think he's kind of like making fun of that sort of approach, because the song is about sort of like the unforgiving nature of life, and it's sort of poking fun at religion because it gives people forgiveness. So, so on the chorus, tell me I'm an angel, take this to my grave, and tell me I'm a bad man, kick me like a stray. So it's sort of like the contrast between an angel and a bad man, sort of adds like complexity, 'cause like, first off, you know, humans are not 100% good or 100% bad, but it's also right. And but the song is also sort of like, it's sort of like I am like, it's kind of like embracing the badness and how terrible the main character has been just in general. And sort of just like making fun of, like, you know, it's like, you know, religion, which, you know,
it's kind of mocking how
even if you're a religious person and you find it absurd that this person is making fun of religion, it's not uncommon to sort of question religion when you're going through something so severe like the process of dying. Like, you know, how could a god who's all loving sort of
I guess the character might feel betrayed or feel like
turned his back on him. How could this be real if, like, I'm dying, right? So, yeah. You know, it's like, this is total BS. Like, how come I'm dying if there's a god?
Kind of that feeling of betrayal, but also in the sense of, like, I guess just... No, I lost my train of thought again.
That's okay.
It's okay. You can cut it out.
The second verse, also post-chorus, Gerard is whispering S-I-N. He's spelling out sin, where he's going S-I-N, I-S-I-N, I-S-I-N. And then it goes into the second verse. It's like, it's, you know,
continuously sins. Going I sin, I right. sin, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Okay.
So play Ring Around the Ambulance Like You Never Gave a Care. So I think this is kind of just saying, like, you know, you didn't really care about your life. You know, you're sort of like dancing around, you know, death, you know, sort of like you're not really like taking it too seriously. We have the same pre-chorus. I think I'm going to burn in hell. And then the chorus, tell me I'm an angel, take this to my grave. Then we have the bridge, which I think is probably like the most like, the core idea, I guess, to the song. Like, you, like, it's just sort of like, you better run like the devil because they're never going to leave you alone. You better hide up in the alley because they're never going to find you a home. That's obviously like, I think that's a reference to like homeless people who are like genuinely like can't find a home. So they hide in alleys and like whatever else they can find because there's no other place for them. And as the blood runs down the walls, you see me creeping up these halls. I've been a bad motherfucker. Tell your sister I'm another, and then go, go, go. I'm looking at like the written out lyrics. I don't think it says tell your sister I'm another. I think it says, this could be wrong, but to me it sounded like it said, tell your sister that I love her, then go, go, go. Basically being like, I love you, and then like leaving.
Yeah.
You know? Sort of like, you know, obviously bad behavior. That's what I thought that was. You better run like the devil, cause they're never gonna leave you alone. You better hide up in the alley, cause they're never gonna find you a home. So that, you know, the whole thing is just like, the whole song is just like, I'm a bad person and I'm having fun doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And it is a fun song. So that's what House of Wolves is about.
Just a mocking of all the ridiculousness that happens behind the church and its logic and judgment, kind of.
Right, the church and just like religion in general and like life and just all that. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Next song is probably, I think, is the saddest song on the album, which is Cancer.
you could get me a drink.
I won't lie to you. This is one of my, I would say this is one of my top favorites out of this whole album. Cancer was.
I don't blame you, because this song is such a departure from like everything the band has ever done. Like it's a piano ballad, which they don't have a lot of. Like, I'm pretty sure this is the only piano ballad they have. They have like one guitar ballad, which is called Desert Song. It's a fantastic song. It's on their it's a bonus track for their live album, Life on the Murder Scene, which is actually one of the songs I did for the Cabaret Karen, by the way. But it's a great song. But okay, this song is a piano ballad. It's such a big departure, and if you were a My Chemical Romance fan listening to this for the first time, you would have been shocked with just how this song starts. You know, it just starts with a piano. Mm-hmm. Similar to how Welcome to the Black Parade starts with a piano, but this one obviously sounds much more sinister, with Welcome to the Black Parade being set in G major. And I don't know what this song is set in, but I believe it starts off with a minor chord. So it's, you know, major is more lighthearted and minor is more sad. And the lyrics, would you like to take this one, Karen? Because I feel like...
I think this song is pretty much the one song I could actually understand. It was pretty self-explanatory, yeah. I guess. But honestly, my interpretation was obviously, you know, this song is, I guess you could say, narrated by someone who is obviously dying of cancer. And, you know, saying their final goodbyes, or as we in Spanish say, la despedida, final. So, there's obviously a lot of feelings going on in this song. And, you know, there's mentions of, like, you know, chemo and how,
right.
Obviously, this person's obviously dying, but... I guess this sounds so awful, but they're decaying. Honestly, they're decaying, you know?
Right.
Like the line, baby, I'm just soggy from chemo, but counting days to go. It just ain't living. I just hope you know. So this person is really just kind of emphasizing the fact that, you know, it's okay. They're probably ready to go. They're ready to say goodbye. You know, they're pretty worn down. They're pretty worn out.
Right.
They're pretty weary.
Right.
But I guess this song also serves as like a form of reassurance to whoever the song is dedicated to. A form of reassurance, you know. That like the one line, it's obviously repeated a couple of times, but because the hardest part of this is leaving you.
Right.
That line just really, you know, it strikes. It really does.
Right. This is a hard song because it's so short. You know, it's a little under 2.5 minutes.
It's such a heavy theme. It's so effective because it is.
And, you know, when it starts, you know, it starts off with turn away, don't look at me because, you know, I'm, you know,
I don't want you to see me.
Verse two is turn away because I'm awful just to see.
Now turn away because I'm awful just to see. Abandoned all my body, all my agony. Know that I will never marry. Baby, I'm just soggy from the chemo, but counting down the days to go.
Right.
Like I'm in an awful state, right? Like I'm in a terrible state.
All of my hair has abandoned all my body. Oh, my agony. It's just... It's so, because cancer is
a terrible disease.
Is the disease that humans oftentimes just sort of, we all sort of sympathize for anyone who's going through cancer, because, you know, I mean, first off, there's no cure, and you know, the treatment process is just, it's hard. You know, if you live in America, it's expensive. It's just, it's a horrible thing to have to go through, and it's a horrible thing to have to experience. And, you know, this song is sort of saying, like, you know, the hardest part for me isn't the actual cancer, but it's that I'm doing this to you, which, you know, is you is like his loved ones, you know, the people he cares about so dearly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really powerful song, even though it doesn't, it's not necessarily complex or catchy or witty, but it's powerful just in the universal theme of this is hard. And I think that's really all there is to say about this song.
It's
definitely the one of the best songs off this album.
I agree. I totally fully agree.
It's not like my most listened to, like, well, it's definitely not my most listened to, but, you know, like, from the opening chords, it just instills a feeling, you know, even like the first time that I listened to it, you know, the opening chord off of, you know, the opening piano chord off of what I thought would be in an album that was entirely rock music, you know?
It's just a completely different, like, vibe change. Totally, right. Completely different, but it works. It really does, right. Work.
And it takes a break from the cryptic nature of this whole album, and it's so direct, and you just, like, there's no question about what the song means, which is one of the things that all the other songs have. It's like, besides, like, Teenagers, but, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about that right now.
We don't talk about that right now.
There is some debate on Teenagers, which, we'll talk about. Anyway.
It's coming up.
This song.
Future episode.
It's coming up. Next episode, it'll be, we'll talk about Teenagers. But this song is quick and direct, and it says all it needs to say. It doesn't overstay its welcome at all. And it gets to the point, and it leaves a sort of mark on you emotionally, just from being so open and direct about it, you know? It's a hard song.
It's definitely, you know, it's a really heavy theme. So I feel like Gerard definitely, he did an amazing job capturing,
right,
the kind of emotions that, you know, would be instilled in this kind of situation. So,
and you know, when they perform this song live, most of the time the rest of the band doesn't play their instruments. Like, there's a drum in the second verse, but normally live they don't do that. It's just the piano.
Oh, this is kind of like just piano a cappella.
Yeah, they Yeah, right. So it's just a piano. My friend Herrick saw MCR, they didn't do cancer for when I saw them, but when he saw them, it was just they did do it, because they changed the set list around, and he said, yeah, I mean, it was just Gerard and a piano. So yeah, that's cancer.
That's cancer.
Then the next song and the final song
on this episode
is gonna be Mama.
This one, Okay. This is a little funky to me. I will not lie. It is kind of funky. It's a little silly. But
I think this is probably like the most like hardcore they get on this album. I think like both instrumentally and also vocally on one specific part, which I'm sure you are aware of. Give us your analysis of this song, Karen.
Damn it. Okay, so obviously, you know, the character, could we say this is the patient? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So I think the patient is kind of going on with, like, it's kind of like an apology letter, but at the same time, it's like, I'm sorry I turned out the way I did, but I really don't care. Like, I'm good with what I've got. Like, I'm gonna, like, I feel like it's just coming to terms with the self. Kind of.
Right.
I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but kind of blaming the actions, you know, like, on the nature of man, I guess, something like that. It's kind of like a, Mama, I know you can't accept me, but, like, hey, this is how I turned out. Gonna have to deal with it, or you can just, you know, abandon me however you feel. Like, I respect that kind of decision.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got out of it. But I don't know if that's exactly, you know, what the point that I was trying to get across was.
Right. So, this song is complicated because it's kind of weird because it sort of talks about war as well as the like cancer, you know? So, it's kind of hard to the album sort of introduces this theme of war, which, like, on the, where is it? Let's see. Yeah, on the pre-chorus. Well, mother, what the war did to my legs and to my tongue. You should have raised a baby girl. I should have been a better son. This one, personally choose to believe that there either, like, was no, like, actual war, or if there was, like, maybe, you know, like, it could have been, like, I think, like, the war is more representative of, like, the fight against cancer, you know?
Oh.
Like, well, mother, what the war did to my legs and to my tongue. Well, the legs part, I think, is in, like, it references, I think, again, like, if you can coddle the infection, they can amputate it once. So I think he's saying, you know, well, you know, what the war did to my legs, either they were amputated, maybe, or, you know, maybe, you know, he's weak, so he can't walk as well. And, you know, and to my tongue, I think the tongue is basically just like what he said, yeah. You know,
like, words, physical words, vocal words.
Right. Like, you know, like what, you know, what he's done, you know, what he said to people, how rude he was, you know, how full of hate he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, you should have been, and then it starts off with you should have been, and then it goes, I could have been a better son. That's sort of, this line is like, it sort of sounds like two characters fighting against each other, you know, or it's like, you know, it starts off with, you should have been a better son, but then, you know, he stops her and it's like, I know I could have been better.
It's almost representing a kind of conversation, you know, that.
Right. Yeah. Back and forth. Yeah. You know, like I said in the first episode, Gerard, and just like especially on this album, they're very into like the theatrics of the like of this like album, because it's labeled as like a rock opera, so it tells a story, and you know, it means like, you know, there are characters, and like, you know, it's not as clear cut as like, you know, Mamma Mia, but you know, it's like it does tell a story and there are characters, and if you really pick apart what's being said, you can figure out what the story and the characters are. The hook on the song is "And When We Go," which is in reference to hell. "Don't blame us, we let the fires just bathe us. You made us oh so famous, we'll never let you go." This is kind of odd, because I don't know if MCR has actually ever struggled with this, but it kind of sounds like the relationship between like an artist and an evil record label, you know?
Oh.
Which is a very common theme in so much music. Well, hi, Rosie and Elfie. What are you guys doing?
Hi. My dog's came to visit. Hello, puppy.
Hi, Rosie. Hi, Elfie. Hi. But yeah, and then after that chorus, that I'm, you know, kind of going in order, the post-chorus, she said, "You ain't no son of mine. For what you done, they're gonna find." I just touched the mic on accident. Oh my gosh. "For what you've done, they're gonna find a place for you and just a place for you and just your mind. Just you mind your manners." Okay. I thought it was like a place for you and just your mind, and then like comma your manners when you go, but when I'm reading it, it sort of makes more sense. But it, you know, I think it could be also like a layer of like a double entendre there, where it's like, you know, your corrupted mind will go somewhere, but it's also like, you know, a mother being like, mind your manners, because that's something that all mothers say. "And when you go, don't return to me, my love," which is the last line, sort of being like, when you go to hell, don't come back to me. Or maybe it's like, maybe it's not like go to hell specifically, but like sort of, like, you know, maybe, but like by go to hell, it's sort of talking about, this sort of like, you know, leaving, you know, your mom's house or whatever, you know, like moving out, and you know, he turns into an evil person, and she doesn't want him back anymore because of the person he's turned into. And maybe hell could be in reference to war, like, you know, there is that interpretation of it, but I feel like maybe I don't think the album really talks about war as much, and you sort of uses war as like a metaphor for the fight against cancer or just like death in general, because I don't think they would have tried to push in multiple narratives into this album. And if they did, they would have to have some more relation to each other than just these are two things that happened at the same time. Like, I don't think like, it's kind of like on Call Me If You Get Lost, like how Tyler tried to make it like a, like he's bragging the whole album, but it's also like a album about why he's sad and can't get a girlfriend who like isn't dating someone or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a feature on this song.
What, on this song?
Yeah, on the bridge. "And if you would call me a sweetheart, I'd maybe then sing you a song."
That
part.
Who is this?
Is it's Liza Minnelli is the what?
Is that the mother's voice?
Yeah, that's the mother's voice.
Oh my gosh! Can I just say I really love the mother's voice. Or
yeah.
Oh my god, it was lovely. I loved her voice so much. I fell in love with it.
"And if you would call me your sweetheart,
had maybe then sing you a song.
The line after that is, but the shit that I've done with this fuck of a gun, you would cry out your eyes all along. I can't really interpret this one to be cancer, but I, like I said, you know, I like to believe that it's not specifically about war, but, you know, that's obviously the easy interpretation, or the easier one. And it, I guess it's not unlikely that, you know, there is some element of war to this album, but I personally don't really think that's what it's about. But war and death are bound together. You know, if there's war, there's death. So, you know, it makes sense, but I don't have another interpretation for this line specifically, other than just maybe like, you know, I've done so much wrong, and, you know, if only my mother knew what I've been doing, you know. And then the outro is, we're damned after all, through fortune and flame we fall, and if you can stay, then I'll show you the way to return from the ashes you call. We all carry on when our brothers in arms are gone, so raise your glass high, for tomorrow we die and return from the ashes you call. What do you think? Let's get the Karen POV.
Oh God. Okay, Karen POV.
Karen POV.
Karen POV. So, okay, sorry. We're damned after. I guess the fact that. I don't really know. In Spanish, I know this is like for Hispanic people, a common thing is like, oh, we're nothing. We rise from nothing, and back to nothing we'll become. Like, we came from, you say, kind of, how do I translate it? We came from the earth, from the ground, and back to the, like, we'll return to the earth.
Oh, yeah.
The ground.
I know. There is a way to say it in English, but I can't remember what it is, but I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, kind of like, oh, we'll return to Earth or whatever, something like that. But I feel like this is kind of the concept that it's going for. Like, you know, even though you've lived like a life of ambition and whatnot, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, because you'll go back to where you came from with absolutely nothing. You started off with nothing,
right.
And you go back with nothing.
Right.
You don't take anything.
And sort of, and also just like, this outro sort of serves as the antithesis to Welcome to the Black Parade. Because, it's, you know, in Welcome to the Black Parade, it's, we'll carry on. But in this song, it's, we all carry on. Which is much more sad, but, you know, they're saying the same thing with, like, you know, the same words, besides, like, a contraction difference. But, you know, it's the same thing, but, you know, this song is much more sad, and, you know, so raise your glass high, for tomorrow we die. You know, it's like, you know, it's kind of, like, the same type of, like, call that, like, call to action that the Black Parade has. Or Welcome to the Black Parade has, but in this song, it's pessimistic, and instead of being like, fuck you, I'm not dying today, it's like, fuck,
I'm dying
today. You know? Right, yeah. So, yeah. That's, yeah, I mean, that's Mama.
That's pretty much Mama. That's Mama.
That's, I mean, I think we covered all the bases of this song. Yeah. We got a lot of, we have one more episode. We changed it from 3 to 4. From 4 to 3. I don't know if we mentioned that, because I believe in the first episode we did say that there would be four episodes. Oh my gosh, I'm getting my numbers all mixed up. But in the next episode, we will cover Sleep, Teenagers, Disenchanted, Famous Last Words, and Blood, which Blood is just a bonus track, which we will briefly talk about. It's just a silly little song at the end. Actually, you know what? I'll save the fun fact about Blood until the next episode when we talk about it.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
Hopefully, you know, you got something out of it. If it wasn't from me, then it was probably from Violet.
It's okay. Karen, you're kind of taking, like, the point of view of the listener here. So you're sort of like
I'm the world population.
You're the Jim Halpert in this episode of The Office, you know?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's kind of silly little way to explain it. But yeah.
But thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Next episode.
Tune in next episode to the Why Am I Dead podcast, where we cover the next 1, 2, 3, 4.
The rest of the album!
Like 4.5, kind of. Blood is mostly silence. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
we'll cover all of those songs next week. If you enjoyed, subscribe to my YouTube channel, twitch.tv/ninja.
Free promo?
Free promo.
Oh my god, I didn't expect that. Anyways, go subscribe.
Thank you for listening. Subscribe.
Thank you for listening.
To the YouTube channel, twitch.tv/ninja. And yeah, we will see you next week.
Bye!